Garrett, can I get your hands up like Bugs Bunny for him? Doing the whole thing? Because he was really into that part.
No, he's not this going
to. MTG. Yes, before the show even starts, we get off track.
Niv-Mizzet.
Okay, does that mean we...
Just start it for him, please.
Okay. I just want to see how long he was dedicated.
His arm's dedicated.
No, not anymore. You put your hand down. You lost the dedication.
Well, because I thought I was the start. I thought you were trying to get on with it.
Welcome to This Week in MTG with your host, Matt, Danny, Anthony, and Big G.
Hello and welcome, Magic Folk, to This Week in MTG, our non-driving episode of This Week in MTG, your aggregate news podcast for all things Magic the Gathering. We're your hosts. I'm Matt. We don't have Danny. He got a bit of a tickle in his throat. Been sucking on too many toads.
Makes sense.
Over there, we got Big G.
Hey, hey.
And one with the hive mind, Anthony.
Yeah.
Danny is saying he's here, just not physically. That's him speaking in the Twitch chat.
He's a moderator tonight.
He's
invisible. Stay invisible over there.
Give us your news in the chat there. Yeah. So I guess quick note here. Watch us on Monday nights when we live stream this over on Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
Then you can make fun of Danny for being here, not physically, but spiritually. Needless to say, we're glad that you decided to join us for this episode. Did I say the episode number? 187.
You did now.
I did now. We're going to take a moment at the top of the episode to express our sincerest gratitude to you, dear listener, for tuning into This Week in MTG. We know that there are countless other MTG podcasts out there to choose from, and we are honored that you have chosen to listen to ours. We appreciate your support and your feedback of any kind, and we want you to know that we are striving to improve and make this podcast the best that it can be. We could not do it without you, and we are grateful for your continued support. So from all of us here at This Week in MTG, we thank you for that, and we hope you continue with us on this podcasting journey. Also, we need to give a special thank you to the Patreons of this podcast. Their monetary support goes to hosting the website, the podcast feed, buying packs and cards for the monthly Patreon giveaways. So we give a big, ginormous welcome, thank you to Wade97, Amu the Fox, Noah, Slade, Nikki, No Modifier, Jacob, Christian, Maddie K, Barra, Chimera, KCB, Taylor M, and Ricky R. Thank you to each and every one of you. If you guys want to be crazy and supporting us too, check out our Patreon. Links down below. We have two tiers, a $3 tier and a $10 tier. The $3 tier gets you in for a monthly drawing for booster packs of a theme. We just gave away Mom set boosters, March of the Machine set boosters for Mother's Day, since May is a Mother's Day month.
It is.
And the card, we gave a stack of cards away, plus another one from Anthony's just kindness.
That's right.
Throwing bonuses and stuff like that.
I should.
And you get drawn for the cards at the $10 tier, but then there's also access to the unedited feed, the unedited episode, where you get to catch all the ums and fuck arounds and all that jazz.
Fuck around.
And yeah, it's pretty fun. Let's see, what are the other things? There's a secret live stream that we do for the drawings. That's important too. Next, if you're unable to, or don't feel like supporting us on Patreon, you can also support us by sharing this episode with your playgroup or your LGS rival. It is another excellent way of supporting us, and getting this out into more ears, just the better. We enjoy when people listen to us, and we hope that they enjoy when they listen to us as well. Another excellent way of supporting us is by rating and reviewing us on whatever podcatcher you're listening on. Spotify just has stars right now, and apparently there's questions like Q&As. I got to figure out how to like ask questions with an episode. I think you got to go into the actual Spotify app itself under the podcast name to ask those questions.
I'll get to it.
iTunes has the rating and all that stuff. So yeah, rating and reviewing us, also very nice. And another way you can check us out is supporting J-Dubs Sports Cards and Gaming, located in the West Acres Mall of Fargo, North Dakota. So, speaking of J-Dubs, let's hear an ad from them now.
J-Dub's Sports Cards and Gaming, located in West Acres Mall in Fargo, is your one-stop shop for all your Magic the Gathering needs. In the store, you will find a huge selection of sleeves, playmats, and dice for you to personalize your battlefield with. Along with having a large variety of singles in their display cases, there are also binders and boxes for you to browse through. That much selection means that you will always find something you are looking for. J-Dubs is also the place to gather to play a wide array of formats with friends in the community. There is Commander League on Thursday nights, Modern League on Saturday afternoons, and Legacy Leagues on Sunday afternoons. And who can forget Friday Night Magic every Friday evening? J-Dubs has it all, Amonkhet to Zendikar and ways to sleeve, shuffle, and spell sling. Now let's get back to the episode.
Thank you, J-Dubs, for supporting us. One quick note also with J-Dubs, they announced today that their Lord of the Ring pre-orders are now open. They ask for 20% down on your pre-orders.
Yep.
Woof.
So
this doesn't sound good.
Nice part is if you've got store credit, Josh will count that as your 20% and be like, yep, you're good.
Yeah. I just don't know the price is going to be that good, though.
Yeah, well, he has the prices here. As soon as it loads, I will tell you the prices, but I guess my computer is just deciding to be slower than usual.
And it's going there.
Who's going to be faster? Who's going to be faster?
Not me. I'm doing something different.
Apparently, I didn't shut up.
What are you watching?
He didn't turn his sound off.
Well, that was a trailer for the Machine movie.
Oh. So collector booster boxes at J-Dubs are $379 a box. Draft boxes are $174. Set booster boxes are $189. Bundles are $54.99. Gift bundles, $109.99. Mention here real quick. In the gift bundles, you can have the chance of opening the One Ring.
Because they're in the English collector boosters.
Commander decks, $54.99 per deck, and a set of all four Commander decks, $209.99. So J-Dubs has all of that. Go check it out.
And 25% down on the pre-order. Not bad.
No, 20% down.
Oh, 20.
We require 20% down on all in-store pre-orders. Online orders placed must be paid in full at time of order.
Which makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah, that's coming up pretty soon, too.
Is.
It's upon us.
June 16th is the release because it corresponds with Command Fest.
Holy fuck, that's even closer than I thought.
Yeah.
Bleh. Well.
Less than a month away. Coming up to a month away. 30 days, 31 days, one or the other.
Well, let's get back to this cast.
Now, with all that podcasting business out of the way, let's move to this episode's breakdown where I'll tell you what you're going to be hearing on this episode. Starting off, we're going to go to the Boggle Desk where Big G has a Salt and Sugar report. From there, we're going to have upcoming events ranging from NRG Minneapolis to a Dock Store Championship and the J-Dub Store Championship. From there, going to jump into the news, which, you know, we got Big G here, so he's very excited about this bit. We're going to be talking Doctor Who stuff like we mentioned last week on the driving episode. Then we're going to talk Lord of the Rings, someone who hacked Arena to get things, and then just a retail update on the Academic. From there, going to move to the Conjured Currency section. And from that, we will be done with this episode and y'all can go home. We'll see if we can do it in a timely manner.
But Matt, they're already home.
Or they could be driving. Or yeah, they could
like
be
us.
At work.
Matt, they're already home tonight.
I mean, to those listening live, maybe.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
So you wanna take us away over at that Boggle Desk?
Hell yeah. So, Sugar Report, got some spell table in this weekend. Got to play with Matt and Chris and Knight, and Chris kicked our asses. In our defense, though, we were playing our shitty decks the first go
around. Hey, you call them shitty. I think they're fabulous. And when he says shitty, he's talking about our mono decks that are doing the other colors things best. So
Matt, that for me is part of the sugar. Matt and I finally got to play our meme decks for each other, with each other. So
in the same pod?
And I was purposely waiting for you to be playing your red deck for me to play my blue deck. Now I'll play my blue deck whenever. But the first time it came out, it had to be with you.
Well, I played it when we were playing with Ryan.
No.
At Magic Fest.
I never played my blue
deck.
Yeah,
I know you never played your blue deck, but I played my red deck.
Yeah, I saved myself for you, sir.
He was
and
like,
here you are, like some busty hussy, running around just sharing it with everybody.
He was. He shared us with Ultimate Gaming, too, on the way back.
I did. I made Anthony a little salty about that, too.
Jesus.
And then I proceeded to werewolf out and kill everybody.
Yes.
All right. But the Salt Report didn't win us. did. Oh, no, wait, never mind. I did win the Oathbreaker. I didn't win Commander, but I won Oathbreaker. Either way, though, I had a lot of fun.
Which Oathbreaker did you win with?
Mono White.
Nice.
So the angels came flying down. Nobody could deal with them.
Yeah, they were chunky.
Flight
there.
Of the Valkyries.
They got chunky fast.
I cannot do anything about that. But in that first game, I just want to say I got toxic. I got poisoned out, and it was fabulous. I loved it so much. Knight cast his Vraska, the Betrayal Sting, yep. The new one.
Mono black one,
and upticked it itself. And proliferated a couple times. So it was going to ult on his turn. And then he passes it to me. I Zealous Conscripts. Take the Vraska.
Yes.
Put him at 9 poison counter. And it's pretty much sacked it. Garrett was going to stop me and kill it. And I'm like, no, I am killing
it. Wasn't going to kill it. I was just going to make sure it couldn't ult.
Yeah, it couldn't ult. But I'm like, but I'm going to ult it and it's going to die.
Mainly because I read the card incorrectly going, every player gets the 9. And I'm like, fuck
that
you.
That would be brutal.
Garrett got scared. It's understandable. Yeah. Listen. Poison counters make people very frightful, okay?
Well, it just happens. Especially when the person dealing them out has proliferate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proliferation.
So Knight was playing Atraxa, proliferate, and it was a beast of a deck. I missed a play that I could have done to like save me a couple poison counters there by killing his Vorinclex later than I should have.
No, it was me. Well, it was both of us killing it.
Yeah,
because you were 1 damage short, and I could just ping the rest of it
off. Yes, and I missed that ability there too. That you'd be able to ping it off. I had like deal 4 damage or 5 damage.
Yep,
and me not thinking and trying to politic missed that. Garrett had 2 Tims on the board.
I had 3 at this point.
It was 3 at this point. Needless to say, I fucked up and I got more poison counters. I could have lived at least maybe another turn. Would have I died? Most likely, but I could have had another round at the table.
Hell yeah. But some upcoming events. We got the big one down in Minneapolis again. Look at that. We're already back down to Minneapolis.
Surprise.
With the NRG Series trial weekend. So we've got one of our dear friends and listeners, Dylan's favorite format, going with the 10K. Woo! Yes, Dylan, that's right. Get down there. Get your Pioneer in.
Get that Pioneer on. Mono White Mirror. Hell yeah.
And that's happening on Saturday starting at 10 o'clock. And Sunday starting at 10 o'clock is the Modern 5K trial. There are going to be some other events going on, side events, and all that kind of stuff. Artists, special guests, and plenty more. But the big things that people are going to be focusing on here are the showdowns and the trials for Modern and Pioneer. And then a little bit more closer to home this Friday, we've got Paradox and J-Dubs doing their store championships. Paradox is for sure locked in doing a standard store championship. And with that... where's all the info?
Oh no, where'd it go?
We lost it. Sorry, guys, we can't give you the
it
local.
Fell into the multiverse.
Well, it starts at 6:30. I've got all that in place.
We can't give you the local news anymore.
Oh wait, there we go.
We're terrible.
There we go.
They moved it.
They moved it on Facebook on the event stuff.
That sounds right.
All right, so entry fee is $24.99. It's standard Swiss rounds with cuts to top, and first place you'll get a Thalia and Grit.
Gitrog
monster foil.
Gitrog, get wrecked.
Yeah,
hey,
get good,
that's my
scrub.
Joke.
But then you will also get a personalized one with the Paradox comics and cards. Are you two done over here?
No.
Yes,
he's
you
upset.
Are.
You he's
are
upset.
Done.
I'm upset.
You're done.
Upset.
You're done.
He's upset.
You're done.
You know what? Just nodded
Niv
me. You know what? Just nodded me right now.
And top 8.
Anthony.
Top
very
8.
Very much like Sunmiser. And I'm like, Snow Miser.
For those who didn't see that, Matt just had a pack of cards thrown on by Garrett. So Garrett, now continue.
Chris, if you're watching,
oh,
he just desecrated this deck.
But he decked you.
Anyway, first place gets those Thalias, one of them being just plain foil, the other one being a luscious personalized one. Top 8, you will get a Aether Channeler promo foil, one of which then two will be personalized for top 8. And participation, you'll get a Strangle promo. Top 4, you'll get 4 Modern Horizons 2 set boosters. 5 through 8, you'll get 3 of those. And then all other participants will get 2 Modern Horizons 2 set boosters.
Spicy.
Spicy, yeah. All right, and then other than that, Paradox or J-Dubs is also doing their store championship. But wait, originally it's supposed to be standard, but there's murmurs going around that it might be sealed. It might be draft. Basically, long story short, Caleb messaged out in one of the J-Dubs chats that if people aren't looking to play standard, come on over and play some draft instead is what they're thinking about doing. But that'll be all based on what people are thinking. But now we're in the news, and apparently because I wasn't supposed to be here this evening, I'm going to read the news for this topic exactly how the script has it written.
Yep.
Oh, wait, let me start here.
This will be very interesting.
All right, I'm going to start off the news section this week with an apology. On last week's episode, Matt stated that he will be saving the Doctor Who information for Garrett because he is a Doctor Who fan of the group. Well, silly Matt forgot that Garrett is going to be gone for the next few weeks because of work. Those of you who are looking forward to hearing Garrett's reaction and his passion for Doctor Who will need to be patient a little bit longer. But we can't be patient with Garrett when it comes to giving you listeners news in a timely manner.
True.
Can I just take
it's a
second?
Thing that Big G showed up to talk about at least this.
I know, right? I just want to pat myself on the back for how elegantly worded that was there.
But you know what?
You fucked
the Doctor Who Commander set will be the 9th expansion in the Universes Beyond product line and is currently scheduled to release in October. Oh my God, Wizards is giving me a birthday present.
If that's how you want to, if that's how you want to view it,
sure.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, hopefully, maybe because they'll give me those for free for my birthday. I doubt it, but anyway,
hey, no. if we get big enough, and then it's some.
You're a bitch.
No, you're making too much noise. We got to read the news here in a timely manner so people can listen.
We're fine. Just read.
All right. On a quick side note and reminder about Universes Beyond, is that of Wizards of the Coast IP crossover product line they have been doing for the past couple of years, which includes things like Street Fighter, Warhammer 40K, Stranger Things, Walking Dead, plenty more that are still coming.
And Transformers.
Love and Transformers. Yep, and Transformers, but those ones seem to not... Anyway, I'm not going to get that far off topic.
Yeah.
Now, like Warhammer, Doctor Who set will consist of 4 commander decks, each with 50 new cards, but this set will have 2 large differences. The first being that these decks will include new sets of Doctor Who-inspired Planes Chase cards. So it looks like Planes Chase is back, and it's staying for a while.
I think everybody's excited for that.
Oh God, yes!
The fact that at MagicCon, the Secret Gavin event was Plane Chase based.
That was
I feel
really
just
cool.
Like solidifies
for both weekends.
Yeah,
or both weekend events that you did for Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, it solidifies Planes Chase as a thing. So
I'm glad to see that. I like Plane Chase,
but so there we go. That format enhancing power is staying around, but only one Planes Chase card was revealed with the Mothership article. And it is called the Lux Foundation Library. It reads, Plane, the Library. Players have no maximum hand size. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. The next part of this card is when you roll a chaos side of the planar die. It reads, when chaos ensues, put a shadow counter on target creature. A creature with a shadow counter can block and be blocked only by creatures with shadow.
Ooh, they're bringing that back. It's nice.
Well, and it's very, for the library, it's very, very on point.
On point. Well, I believe you. I don't know much about Doctor Who stuff, so yeah.
Wait, who's there?
Who?
Yeah. All the Doctor Who nerds will get me.
I know.
Who? Nope. But the second difference with this Doctor Who set. You're the one that has to edit this shit, not me.
I know. The good news is that's staying in.
Exactly. There we go.
Wow.
All right. So the second difference to this Doctor Who set is that for the first time, and surely it won't be the last, there will be a collector booster sold alongside it for the Commander Deck set. These boosters will contain cards from the Commander Decks in a plethora of different treatments. One of the treatments, according to Amazon pre-order description, being a showcase TARDIS frame. Ooh.
Yeah, like
Garrett's gonna lose his mind over this.
I'm gonna lose a lot of fucking money over this.
Garrett, you gonna spend as much money as I did in the last year, probably?
on this one set, maybe.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm
because this one will probably be...
This is your thing.
I am going to buy a set of Doctor Who decks to just sit there and just collect. In case. And then I'm going to buy some to open
and play with.
Should we schedule up doing another...
Yeah, we should just schedule up doing some in the first place. But yes, we should definitely schedule up some.
For that. Just for have the pre-con decks.
Yeah, pre-con deck play again. Yeah.
There we go.
But with one treatment according to... being the shadow, the TARDIS frame, another treatment includes the return of surge foiling and the other foiling called rainbow foils. Seems a little Pokemon-esque, but these booster packs will be pre-ordering for $23.28 per pack, or a collector's box containing 12 packs are pre-ordering for $242.49, both on Amazon.
Pretty average price.
Yeah, that's not bad. And I mean, you're getting 12 packs, and hopefully it has the correct amount of cards in it.
They don't have a one ring in them, so they're not causing them to flip out like crazy.
But check with your local game store to see if they are starting pre-orders yet, which is possible. But with the set drop on October 13th, I would imagine that most local game stores are waiting to open pre-orders. Now, speaking of dates, here are some important dates that Wizards of the Coast announced in this article pertaining to Doctor Who. The first look will be going down on July 28th. The debut for October 3rd and going global on October 13th. With so much time in between now and the release, there isn't much more information to go over other than the names and the colors of the deck. Now, first is the Grixis deck, which is themed after the Doctor's greatest villains. Paradox Powers is a teamer deck, which is based on the 12th and 13th Doctor. Timey Wimey is a Jeskai build around the 9th through the 11th Doctors. And the final deck is Blast from the Past, using the first 8 Doctors.
Oh, I forgot to say, that one's Bant.
And that, yeah, it's Bant.
Cool.
Yep.
So... get like your sonic screwdrivers ready, or if you're Matt, just a sonic screwdriver beverage.
Hey.
Because we are about to... I can't do the Doctor Who TARDIS noise that well, but that's not bad.
I'm just glad that you attempted it there.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like that. It was good.
Oh, God, so serious. I am so fucking excited for this shit.
Hey, can you tell me how excited you're for this?
The fact that they're doing themes around like the time frames of when certain doctors are in there is just going to be really cool. And
I think that's awesome.
Like, I'm not I didn't start watching classic Doctor Who, so 1 through 8. Well, actually 1 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
I started on the 9th, so the rebirth in 2005.
Yeah.
And then I went back and watched some of the old stuff, like the bigger episodes of story arcs and everything.
Who played the Doctor in the 9th?
It was Christopher Eccleston. So he played Dark Elf in Thor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I couldn't remember for sure. Yeah, no.
Tennant, pretty much one of the fan favorites, the Matt Smith, one of the younger people to play the Doctor, and then Peter Capaldi came out, and then Jodie Whitting, can't remember her last name, and then we're back to David Tennant again for this year's special. And then
he just can't get away.
Well, he keeps coming back, and he said anytime they invite him back, he'll come back.
Well, yeah, he loved that spot.
But
no, I think that's really awesome. I think it's really cool with the color schemes they set up for it.
These are shards.
Yeah, I mean, that's the greatest part.
And the fact that too, it's like when you sit and just kind of think about the cards and everything and like the mechanics that could potentially be in there. And thinking about the color schemes and which doctors are in each one, it fits very much with the personalities of those characters.
I stand corrected. 2 shards, 2 wedges, because Teamer and Jeskai are wedges.
Oh, yep.
It's okay. It's fine. It's all the same.
I just want to correct that before someone gets at us and be like, Matt, you fucked up.
Well,
Matt,
you did.
Come on, man.
So my son and my wife, are the Doctor Who fans in the house, and they've watched... I don't know.
Everything?
The bald guy up to now. I don't know who the bald guy is in the leather jackets.
Oh, Christopher Eccleston.
That guy, sure.
Yep. So the rebirth of Doctor Who.
Yeah. So they've watched that. They haven't watched any of the classics. I remember back in the day, I tried to watch one of the old ones, and where the TARDIS was going, and you could see the string just going in the background. I'm like,
oh, and that's the thing too with like the classic stuff. Very low budget on on the special effects. And like that first season that they came back in 2005, like background information, it's really cool. So the very first season was on BBC Three, very low budget. Yep. So they did as much practical stuff as they could, where a lot of their budget went more so into
paying the actors,
and some of the physical costumes and prosthetics that got put on.
And the props, yeah.
And then when you move into the second season, I believe, it's either the full second season or about halfway through, they moved to BBC Two. So the budget got increased.
Ooh.
And they stayed on BBC Two until Matt Smith came in on the fifth season. And then they moved back to BBC One. Nice. And that's when just they got budget out the ass.
Make this show amazing.
Well, and you could tell a lot of it with some of the guest stars that would come in and a lot of the cool stuff that they did with the visual effects and everything. And it's just fucking awesome. And yeah.
I will say that is on my list of things to start just watching.
Do yourself a favor. HBO Max. There you go.
I have HBO Max.
There you go.
I just have to find time to watch. But yes, I will watch it all.
I'll give you the season one episodes you should watch to understand things, and then just pretty much watch season two on.
Are Daleks from the beginning? Are they classic?
Yeah.
Or, okay. Yep. And the Weeping Angels?
Weeping Angels are new.
Okay.
So Daleks and Cybermen are classic villains.
There you go, Cybermen.
And then a lot of those are the big two that kind of recur. And then Weeping Angels are new. Silence.
So you want to try and guess some of the villains on this box art here?
I don't have to.
He knows them.
It's the Cyberman on the left, the Master, or Missy specifically, because it's the female version of the Master.
Yep.
In the middle, and Dalek.
Okay. We're for sure getting those.
Yeah, buddy.
Cards of sorts. And then it's just on the box art on the rest of them are those corresponding doctors.
Yep.
Yep. So Rose and the 10th Doctor. So
oh, wait,
Tennant.
That's a companion. Oh, so that's one thing. It says in the description.
Potentially coming back.
But there's going to be companions. Yeah, new companions.
But there's a difference. Like, I'm trying to figure out if they actually are going to make the Doctor Who companions companion cards, or they're just
a partner thing?
Or they're just saying, hey, these are the Doctor's companions.
Like, I think.
Because that's what they're called in the series is companions.
I thought there was an article written on that even that explained I swear I read this somewhere for an article that's supposed to be like the design for them are supposed to be like kind of a partner combination setup. Like they're the Doctor's companion, yes, because they're the ones that are with them all the time. But it's supposed to be something with like if you have the Doctor, then you can like
so basically partners with
it. Yeah, it's just a different type of partner mechanic.
Well, because
which is fine because
the
other
friends forever.
The other piece of this too is like each doctor has their main their
companion that hangs
main
out with them
companion.
All the time. Yeah.
So like David Tennant's doctor, his main companion is like very unarguably Rose.
I wonder if this is something I randomly was hearing from the stage when I was standing in line for Chris Ron. Because like they had a ton of stuff going on, and I just keep turning back and looking,
okay,
and being like, "Oh, cool," and then I turned away. So that's probably where I heard this from, because it sounds so familiar and new.
What was it like as they were talking? So there's a video on it then.
Probably
they've been dropping a bunch of the. Yeah.
Like I said, I think it's that's what this whole thing is though. Is like it's something like a partner type of thing. It's just a little bit different variant, and
so you're not going to get Commander companions.
No.
That was my tinfoil hat theory there.
I would have said fine with that, but I feel like Wizards just ain't going back to that ever again.
Here I thought that they were just going to try their best to like make it better.
The plane was flying and got shot down, and it's never coming out of the ocean.
So I just listened to a drive to work from Mark Rosewater talking about why they don't do things specifically. And one of the things of like, it was going off of on the Blogatog, a lot of things about when one of the battles that invasions of Megdora.
Yeah.
Which is,
it's the plane creature line or plane, right?
Where vanilla creatures, no text creatures get a pump and everyone just assumes that that's like a vanilla plane and stuff. And so they're asking, are we going to get a vanilla plane? And then, so he made a podcast talking about like why we wouldn't probably do something like that. Because if you get a vanilla matters set, you're going to have creatures that kind of break that vanilla needed.
Yeah.
So that way they
wrecks the stats then everything. Cause like,
yeah,
you look at something that's just a simple, like grizzly bears, it's a 2/2 for 2.
Right.
How do you make, How do you make a competitive set out of vanilla creatures that aren't going to break the standard?
So he was talking about stuff like that, and one of the things brought up is like they like to try something that would break the mold, like a more tedious mechanic to work on. And he specifically pointed out Aquaria, saying that Mutate and Companion were two new mechanics that probably should have been spaced out, so more time would have been given to work on them more, because they had to divide their resources between two complex mechanics in the game system of Magic to like figure out the rules and stuff, and they just didn't. They didn't do it correctly. So, Mutate is okay-ish and confusing, but Companion just got like...
Companion was a little bit broken.
Was missed.
Yeah, Companion was very similar to the things that they always run into, which is like, here's a new mechanic, and we missed some parts to it. Like, just like vehicles, just like OG Planeswalkers, just like the equipment when it first got introduced. Like, same stuff, but that's okay. I actually, to tell you the truth, though, I'm okay with us not going to a vanilla plane. Just because I would rather them work towards us going to other planes slash also going back to planes we haven't been to in a while, like Lorwyn or Alara. So I'm okay with that.
We got Crazy Mage saying, Companion of these nuts.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, so the next bit of news here we got is talking about Lord of the Rings, which Garrett, you're also between... You're the bigger Lord of the Rings.
I'm the Lord of the Rings guy. I love Lord of the Rings.
Okay, okay. Fuck. So this one, we're just going to read the straight up article. And this was the stuff that came out during MagicCon Minneapolis. So this one is written by Matt Tabak. It's Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle Earth Mechanics. It's time to embark on a different sort of journey as Magic presents characters, locations, and epic moments from the epic fantasy novels of J.R.R. Tolkien. Lord of the Rings Tales of Middle Earth is packed with exciting new cards and new marquee keywords and mechanics to review. So gather your fellowship, pack your Lambus, and let's head out to learn more about this new set. If you couldn't tell, I don't know a lot about Lord of the Rings. Today we're sharing a tease of the mechanics from the set with a full reveal arriving during our debut on May 30th, so in 15 days. Catch up with what you've missed with the first look at Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle-Earth, to see even more cards. So we got the ring. So the first cards that we saw, they were saying stuff about like tempting the ring, and now we're going to go into what the ring and tempting the ring is. So the ring calls out, eager to bend mortals to its will. Several cards in the set have abilities that say, the ring tempts you. First card example they give of the ring tempts you is Call of the Ring. Enchantment, black, 1. At the beginning of your upkeep, the ring tempts you. Whenever you choose a creature as your ring bearer, you may pay 2 life. If you do, draw a card. The first time the ring tempts you during a game, you get an emblem named the ring. There's a printed helper card you can keep in your command zone to remind you that you have the ring and what it does. The ring starts with only its first ability at the top, but it may gain other abilities one at a time as it tempts you further. So the ring reads, so here's the emblem card as is.
And goes down in order.
So the first one, your ring bearer is legendary and can't be blocked by creatures with greater power. And then if you get tempted by the ring a second time, you move down to this next one. Whenever your ring bearer attacks, draw a card, then discard a card. When you get tempted a third time, it has whenever... your ring bearer becomes blocked by a creature, that creature's controller sacrifices it at the end of combat. And the final tempt, so for tempting, when your ring bearer deals combat damage to a player, each opponent loses 3 life.
And flip it.
And then on the back, here's some rules of how the ring tempts you as worded on the card. So the ring tempts you. As the ring tempts you, you get an emblem named the ring. If you don't have one, then your emblem gains its next ability and you choose a creature you control to become or remain your ring bearer. So you can change your ring bearer as things go on. Yep. So like the ring tempts you a second time. It doesn't have to be your 2/2 grizzly bear. It can now be your... goblin.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, so raging goblin. Get that raging goblin.
The ring can tempt you. The ring can tempt you even if you don't control a creature. The ring gains its abilities in order from top to bottom. Once it gains its ability, it has that ability for the rest of the game. So it gets them all. Oh my god, I didn't realize that they stacked.
Oh yeah.
So each time the ring tempts you, you must choose a creature if you control one. And then the final bit here is each player can only have one emblem named the ring and only one ring bearer at a time. So back into the article here. Each time the ring tempts you, two things happens. First, you choose a creature you control to become your ring bearer. If you have a ring bearer, you may choose to have that creature remain your ring bearer, or you may choose another creature you control to carry that burden. Ring bearer is a new designation, and it's not a creature type or an ability. The creature you choose remains your ring bearer until you choose another one. It leaves the battlefield, or another player gains control of it. Okay, so if you... act of treason, it loses ring bearer.
Yeah.
Okay. Each player has their own ring bearer and their own the ring, and you can never have more than one ring bearer. Second, the ring gains its next ability if it can. Once the ring has all four abilities on it, it reached its full power and won't gain additional abilities as the ring tempts you in the future. Notably, the ring will gain its next ability even if you don't control any creatures as the ring tempts you, meaning you didn't choose a ring bearer. So it keeps moving up even if you don't have a creature on the field. Spells and abilities may refer to your ring bearer. Most obviously, the ring itself has abilities that affects your ring bearer. It immediately becomes legendary and can't be blocked by creatures with greater power. In time, the ring's other abilities will provide valuable combat bonuses. And then other cards, including Sauron, the Necromancer, refer to your ring bearer. So we got Crazy Mage saying, Sauron would like to know your current location. So... speaking of Sauron,
turn off your location on your phone, please.
Sauron, the Necromancer, black 3 for a 4/4 legendary creature, horror avatar, has menace. Oof. When Sauron, the Necromancer, attacks, exile target creature card from your graveyard. Create a tapped in attacking token that's a copy of that card, except it's a 3/3 black wraith with menace. At the beginning of the next end step, exile that token unless Saruman and Sauron, two different things. Sauron is your ring bearer. Some triggered abilities trigger when your ring tempts you. These abilities will trigger if the ring tempts you, even if you don't choose a ring bearer because you don't control any other creatures. However, some of these abilities will further specify that they trigger only if you choose specific creatures as your ring bearer. So choose carefully. Looking for more Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle-earth? We'll share more mechanics and cards right here, May 30th. See you then. Pre-orders are now available. As we mentioned, check out J-Dubs.
Yes. I have a goal now with this set coming out for Commander.
Yes.
I want to get my Blaisdell Colossus as a ring bearer.
Okay. I'm in on that. It makes him unblockable.
Just make him stupid, powerful. Just like, really? Just do the, really? Did you really do that with your Blaisdell Colossus?
So you choose him, the ring bearer. He's legendary and can't be blocked with creatures with greater power. So anything below him can block him.
Yeah, I guess.
But, I mean, he's an 11/11 trample indestructible.
With infect.
So it
doesn't really matter.
And so when he attacks, draw a card, then discard a card. Blaisdell. When your ring bearer becomes blocked by a creature, that creature's controller sacrifices at the end of combat. I don't think it's living. Any creature blocking Blaisdell is going to be living at the end of combat.
We're going to make sure.
I mean, yeah, I guess. And then when it deals combat damage to a player, each opponent loses 3 life. That 3 life doesn't actually mean shit.
Like I said, it's a goal to have for just the stupid lulls. That's all I want to do it for.
I'm in on that.
Because it's funny.
And then the first time you bring this deck up, everyone's goal, don't fucking let them do it.
You know what would be a really cool one, too, also?
What's that?
To create as a ring bearer? Norn.
The
bouncy one? Yeah. He is my ring bearer.
How can he be your ring bearer? Because if you cast a spell, he's gone.
He'll just have a hard time staying as the ring bearer, okay? But he fucking vanishes like no other. That's part of him putting the ring on.
Does he have the ring the whole time?
I don't know, man. He fucking just keeps vanishing.
You know what I found out recently that I didn't realize?
What?
He's a human.
Yeah.
I thought he was a goblin.
Oh, really?
For the longest time, I thought he was a fucking goblin.
I thought for the longest time they ratted him for being a coward, and they didn't. And I was like, he's a human warrior. Oh, man.
Coward would be very good. Wizards, get at this.
Yeah. He can stay a warrior. Just make him a coward warrior.
You know what? What do we got next in the news?
Well... we got some stuff to talk about for Arena. If you would, Garrett, imagine something for me. Imagine you weren't an old man.
Okay.
And were really good at computer coding.
You realize you're having the older one read this,
right? Yeah, I know, because it's supposed to be Danny to Anthony.
Yeah. We know. We're just going to continue.
You
I
fucked everything up, Garrett. Did you change the names on purpose?
I changed this name because I knew Garrett was going to be here and Danny wasn't.
So you fucked it up.
No, I changed it because I couldn't read it.
Anyway.
So we're just going to play a different story.
Okay. Go ahead.
We're doing it.
Then one day in this imaginary scenario, you were playing Arena and thought to yourself, I'm young, good at coding, good looking. I look up to Garrett because he is one of the same level, or he is on the same level as pro Magic players. So I'm going to try and hack Arena to get a bunch of free boosters. What do you want to say, Garrett?
I was going to say, I'm looking up to myself.
Yeah.
Man, I am a vain son of a bitch. All right, go ahead.
I know. Oh, I mischanged that name, didn't I?
Anyway, go
whatever.
On.
You got that picture in your head.
I got it.
Matt's changing it. Oh, that's fine. All right. You got that picture in your head. Would you believe it if I told you that there was a person, clearly not you, who hacked Arena for a bunch of packs? Garrett just keeps changing it too. Holy fuck, what's going on? Matt, because that's exactly what threat researcher and malware reverse engineer Daniel Mayer did. How did Daniel do this? Well, obviously, by making a stupidly large order that was so large, it reset the price calculations to damn near zero. With this bug exploited, he made away with roughly $20 million worth of cards for under a dollar. You heard that right, dear listeners. 20 million of cards for under a dollar. Don't get too excited, though, because remember, I said Daniel is a threat researcher. That means he finds bugs like this one and informs the company of this bug so that the company can fix it. This all happened back on April 18th, so this bug has been corrected and in one of the patches between then and now. Yeah, this was a very interesting story to read about.
Yeah, it's going to be linked below. Wargamer did the article. They talked with them as well, and they tried to reach out to WotC about it, but they didn't get back into them in time. So,
but no, I think that's really cool that they're hiring people out for that. Because, I mean, that's important. Like, you always talk about that for a lot of other games and stuff where it's like, hey, like, why don't you have this set up and fixed? It's like, we keep having these issues, you know? I mean, so, like, that was pretty cool for them, especially, like, you always hear a lot of, I mean, we even have had it, too, where we have a lot of backlash about the computer/technical side of things for Magic because I feel like a lot of us,
Words are
I know.
Hard.
God, I just my brain stopped. I looked at the fucking thread you guys were for the chat. Yeah, anyways, back to the point. Because this is a card game and not an online game, I feel like a lot of us that don't care to play the online stuff as much, we don't really care if like it's poo-pooed on too much as well. But it's still important though. You know, it's the same as like the dealing with the issues of the bugs in MTGO, just as much as Arena does have bugs and things to worry about too that sometimes we forget because it's a little bit simplistic in the comparison of the two. But I think it's important because like I think also too, like even as a thing to talk about as a side note from MagicCon when I ran into Jim Davis and Gavin Lasif, that was one thing we talked about with Standard being a thing that they're trying to bring back and get to be more important is that from their perspective too, like they still, the big thing they kind of said to me was like, they loved how Arena is a good testing ground for Standard when you don't have the availability and don't have to be on MTG all the time for it. So, and I agreed with that. Cause like that's the same thought I always had too about Arena was like, it's just a good place to test things. So that way you're not having to buy everything right away.
Yes.
And test it. So yeah, like I said, this is a good thing. I think it's a good choice. So yeah, so I got
Matt. The only acceptable answer to what version of Power Rangers is the OG if they're doing a Universes Beyond first.
Okay,
it needs to be the OG first.
So to those who are just as confused here.
Sidestep here.
In the Twitch chat, we had Chris say that WotC needs to do a crossover with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with the next visit to Kamigawa. And then I'm like, agreed, but I want my Power Rangers first. And then Chris asks, which version of Power Rangers? And I'm like, at this, I'll take any at this moment because, damn it, that's like the easy slam dunk that they could have done
early on. I have only two of my.
But I agree. OG Mighty Morphin is the way to go. That would be like the easiest one to do. And especially since they just dropped their 30th anniversary
movie. Did you watch the episode?
I have not
Dude,
watched it
fucking
yet.
Great.
My son watched
The nostalgia feels, it's very campy.
Who cares?
And they went back to like, if you rewatch the old stuff now, it's like, good God, why did I? And I sit there and go, You're goddamn right I watched this.
Dude, I love
it. It's nonsensical bullshit.
I only have two things for Power Rangers that I would want to see as a crossover thing. One being, like we said, the OG, Mighty Morphin. And the other one I'd like to see would be the Lost in Space and the Galaxy combo thing they did. Those are the ones I like the best, though.
But
I think the overall, like, all the rest of them are good, but they're not, I don't know. They're just so campy. Like, everything else got campy.
Honestly, if they're going to do something like that, though, they should do something like they're doing with Doctor Who and make Commander decks.
Yeah.
And make it a shattered grid event.
That would be good.
And for those of you who don't know Shattered Grid, within the Boom Studios comic,
which is not official Power Rangers canon, if I'm not mistaken.
It's weird. It is and it isn't.
Yeah,
like,
it's in a limbo.
It's its own canon, but then they bring things about that canon into the show canon.
It's like a choosing point where they want.
Insert a joke about George Lucas.
So, something dark side. Anyway. So Boom Studios did this thing where they do a what if. So what if Tommy Oliver stayed evil?
Lord Draken,
And becomes Lord Draken. Spoilers for those who haven't read a comic series that's been out now, I think, for 5 years. Anyway, and basically Lord Draken, evil Tommy, goes, fuck this, I want all the powers. And so he goes around to all the different Power Rangers teams and all the different Power Rangers universes and everything.
Because everything's connected on the grid, the power grid.
Damn straight. Yep.
I just watched a YouTube video about this, too.
It has its own multiverse and everything. Anyway, he tries to get the powers, and long story short, good Tommy comes back, goes, fuck you.
Spoilers.
I'm not saying how.
Spoilers.
It's been fine. Out for 5 years.
Spoilers.
If you want to know more, watch it on YouTube somewhere. You'll find it.
Did you also see, have you been keeping up with the Bat in the Sun release of the White Dragon?
I am fucking waiting for that shit to come out.
I am hyped for that. Because we going?
We're going.
The what?
So Bat in the Sun is this online like movie. They started off like just making videos online. They got bigger.
They did,
like,
the superpower beatdowns.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And one of their big ones that got him a lot of hype was Tommy Oliver, Jason David Frank versus Ryu, which I don't know who the actor was for that, but that was a good fight.
Yep.
For that.
And then they did Jason David Frank versus Scorpion, which I think the first one was White Ranger versus Scorpion. Then they went back and did Green Ranger.
Okay, my bad.
Which the fun fucking part about that is, so the Green Ranger outfit for that video worked its way into canon.
Did it really?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Like, sick.
It made its way into canon, and then it made its way into the Boom Studio comics.
I mean, it's a good looking fucking suit.
Yeah.
So. Power Rangers, we're in. We got, I don't know any of this. Damn it, Garrett.
I'm sorry. I am a nerd of many facets, and so Shattered Grid came out, and I fucking indulged. I'm sorry for spoilers. It's been out for 5 years. Deal with it.
I haven't even started my Magic Boom comic books yet, which they're still going strong. Like, they're on a four-part series right now, and I read the first one, but
you know what?
Been lazy.
Danny's not here to say it. Niv-Mizzet, let's get on with the news.
Okay. I have an update on the Academic Kickstarter deck box created by the professor and game Genic. I should be receiving it by tomorrow.
That's what you think. Anyway.
That's what the tracking says. Tomorrow, I should be receiving it by. Yippee! The whole shipping process of these deck boxes started back in February and had a few shipping delays in the States, but are now back on track. The final 25% of the boxes should be shipped by the end of this month, according to a post they made on their Kickstarter page. So if you haven't gotten an email and you backed this with the tracking number, be patient just a little bit longer. And then after that, hit them up and be like, yo. This thing. And one thing that they also stated is, like, if you didn't fill out your, there's like this one thing, if you didn't fill out
basically you didn't fill out your current address and everything, and it was on a separate site, it wasn't the Kickstarter site, you had to go to a link that they sent you to fill it out.
Correct. So check your emails, make sure you got a confirmation link that was done, because I was getting nervous for a while. I'm like, I know I did this, but I'm like, in the back of your head you're thinking, it's like,
God, did I fucking miss it?
Worst case scenario,
did I not like submit? But then I looked at my emails and I saw that I did get the confirmation, so I'm like, okay, I'm in the last 25%.
So speaking of that weird back thought, so long story short, I had to change my email to something different. Very frequently, I have mistyped. So instead of an A, I've put an A. on some things. So like my wife and I ordered tickets for the Board Teachers Comedy Tour, and I put in the wrong email. But luckily, I knew exactly what email I put in. So like doing customer support stuff was really easy. Going like, hey, here's my order number.
Can you help me find my stuff?
Here's it. This is the email that it's under, but it should be this one. I fat fingered it when I was using my phone because I was using my phone and not using my computer, which I don't make as many mistakes on. Luckily, it was able to get fixed. So if it is something as simple as that where you put in the wrong email, make sure to email somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt. Watch out.
No, I think Crazy Mage is quoting some Cobra Kai. No mercy.
Oh, my gosh. So... But I bring this up for more than just informing the already informed backers of this deck box. I bring it up because GameGenic posted on their Twitter that the Academic 133 Plus XL, the 266 Plus XL, and the newest member to the Academic line, the 133 Plus XL Stealth Edition, which all it is, it doesn't have like the emblems and logos or whatever and stuff on
Stealth.
It. They're all will be becoming available for the general retail in early 2024. The tweet also states that retailers who are interested in getting in on pre-orders contact their distribution reps. So mention this to your LGS if you want to see these boxes in your LGS, so that way they can hit up their reps and you can get them in store in shelves. Yeah. Currently, only Big G can give a live review of the boxes on the account. He was one of the lucky backers to get this back in early March.
I was definitely one of the first 25% to get it.
Yeah.
But honestly, the box is the only complaint I have, and it's not even like it's a nitpicky complaint.
Okay.
When you put your deck in the allotted deck place, there's room that it moves, and I've just become so used to there not being room.
Has your stuff double sleeved? You hard double sleeved.
Even I only have one double sleeved commander deck, and I specifically went, that deck is going in here.
Okay.
Yep.
There's still room.
Oh.
So, wow. So it's one of those things where it's like I've gotten so used to my decks, even my double sleeve one being so tight in the deck boxes
that you have to worry about it moving and stuff.
But here's the thing. So the professor does product review.
Yep.
Obviously, and he specifically worked on this box with GameGenic, made the design and everything. And he even did one of his own test videos for his box.
Which is a great video.
It's a good video. Yeah,
we talked about it last year when he just announced
it. So I did every practical test.
That he did too?
That he does.
Nice.
I didn't bust out flamethrowers or anything like that. I did the normal.
Well, you could have.
I could have, but I didn't. Mainly because those are my cards. But I did the shake test. I did the upside down. I tried everything in my might to knock it in. The box holds up. It's great.
Okay.
And I've got the 266 one because I've got two decks.
What colors?
I just did the standard purple.
Okay. Oh, a couple things as well. So those that are worried, the backers, that purple is exclusive, if I'm not mistaken, to like the purple and silver is exclusive to the Kickstarter. So that one's not going to get reprinted. And right now they're actually doing a choose the next round of colors that they do for the box. Like they got the teal and the red, the gray and the red.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, no, other than that, like the areas for tokens and dice are phenomenal. I'm using them very sparingly right now because what I'm going to do then eventually is probably just put the tokens for those decks in that box, of which even if you got the standard version, you didn't do any of the add-ons, you get some tokens, and the tokens are really cool. The treasure tokens are sweet.
I'm excited.
But then you get a little card basically from the professor. It's obviously not hand signed by him, but it's like, hey, thanks for backing this, the professor. And it's like, oh, sick. So It's a phenomenal box. It's got plenty of room for stuff. I honestly should test if Planes Chase size cards can go in.
Yeah, I don't think that was one thing that he tested back then because Planes Chase wasn't on everyone's mind at that moment.
It was popular.
But honestly, that's one I should test because there's a little like separator where you can put tokens with the deck type of a thing off to the side. And legitimately, when these things go retail, please do yourself a service. Get yourself one because they're really good.
So yeah. final review?
Stars, if, thumbs? If I'm going to, in the honor of the professor, go with a letter grading system, I'm going A+ on it. Boom. It has plenty of space in there. So honestly, you could probably fit more than 260 card decks in there.
Probably or hell, before.
Or hell, one side could be that's your draft side.
Yeah.
So you have a deck with you, but then you have your drafting supplies with you. So.
Or you can have your commander deck and your regular deck for whatever format you play, and room for draft exactly. or sealed.
So it's
your
just,
limited one.
It's just one of those things where it truly is. When we first brought this up and talked about it, this is definitely a true love note to Magic, the Gathering players and the community, because yeah. the deck box just, like I said, my nitpicky complaint is, good God, it has too much space. I'm not used to this.
God, there's just so much space. So no, much I, I'm not going to lie. This was one of those things that I wish I would have actually gotten one.
The FOMO is real.
Yeah.
I got two boxes.
I talked to Shelby and I was like, I only wanted to do one.
There's someone in line before you if I do decide.
Fuck them.
But anyway.
It's Brandon.
But anyway.
I'm better than that.
Anyway. Yeah, I definitely talked with Shelby when I did this one. And
Chris says, space. I wish I had space here in NYC. Sir, get yourself one of these Dex boxes. You'll have so much space.
So
honestly,
much.
Honestly, I could probably rent out one of the spaces in this box for yeah. the price that Chris pays for a studio apartment.
You're probably not wrong.
And New Yorkers would be like, fucking Christ, it's a deal.
Hold on. Did you check the... was water sealability a thing that was tested on that?
Oh, God. I didn't do a water sealability one.
Fucking...
Maybe
take,
I should.
Take the hose, put it underwater. Nah, spray it with a hose. Let's see what the like a rain effect would be on that.
How about we do it with one of your spares? All right, cool.
Yeah.
I only have one. Because I was going to say, when I initially backed this, I talked with my wife, and I was like, hey, I want to do this. I'm going to get the deck box, but it won't come for about a year and a half. And she's like, okay. Do you? How much is it? Well, it's probably more than I would pay for a deck box in the first place, but it's a content creator I really like and I want to support him. And she goes, I mean, sure, whatever. And it came and she's like, what's that? I'm like, it's my really cool deck box I told you about that was coming like a year and a half ago. And,
and she's like, and she's I don't like, remember having this conversation.
And,
she's like,
and it was pretty much that exact thing.
Called it.
It was essentially the nod, like, yeah, I remember. And then I'm like, and I'm showing her all this shit. And she's like, oh, that's like, it is. It, sometimes when I have Magic conversations with my wife, it is the epitome of a mom going, oh, sweetie, that's so nice to their kid.
I was going to say that meme where the big mountain lady in the Thor is standing behind the director looking down as he's showing the mountain lady.
You mean from, Hela?
Yeah, her.
She's not a mountain lady.
She came out of the mountain. No, there's a thing that came out of the mountain that defeated her, right?
Yeah, but that's not the meme, dude.
No, but from that movie, you knew what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
from Ragnarok.
So her.
Yeah.
In the meme.
Hello.
She's standing behind
the director.
The director who's yep. showing a tablet and looks excited. And the meme is like, my wife, because she looks very unenthusiastically yep. at the tablet.
Yeah, that so is that meme is my life when it comes to talking Magic with my wife. Yes.
Yeah, it's Gerda's good husband and asks, tells his wife, and gets confirmation first. Yes. And Ragnarok. Yes.
Yeah, most of the time I ask permission and talk with her first. I did buy my MagicCon ticket before talking with her about the price. But I did look at her. I'm like, I'm going. And she goes, okay.
I didn't look back. I just okay. kept looking forward.
She goes, okay. Yeah, this is a thing you want to do. That's fine. And,
yeah.
And then when I told, I was like, I bought my ticket today. And she's like, okay, how much was it? $140, but I got a sweatshirt too, so it was like $200. And she goes, oh, that's actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I was like, yes.
Out of all the responses you could have gotten, that was the best one.
Well, because then I was like, also, I'm going to probably spend some money while I'm down there. I just want you to know, I'm going to buy prints.
Oh, speaking of print update, did you hang them up anywhere yet, or are they still just
sitting? Oh, did I not show you that? I thought I posted it.
That was just me. You showed me some text.
Okay, yeah, I don't think you put it in the Discord.
I don't think you did put in the Discord.
No,
I thought I did.
Hold on, we'll double check here.
I don't remember, I just know you texted me.
I think you did, actually, and it was just a while ago now.
Right? Yeah, I put them down in my basement.
Yeah, above the sofa.
Yep,
he did.
But then, you know, the full panorama.
Yeah, I was only thinking of when you had them laid out, framed, that picture.
Full panorama. I've got open space for magic stuff, like the shitty North Dakota wood thing is going to be replaced with my thing I'm getting from Josh whenever he's done with it, with my schematic printings. So I'm really excited for that to get done. I'm excited for what Josh comes up with it.
I am excited for you. So that's a lot of shit there at the end of this news section. You ready to move over to the contra-currency?
We are. Did you guys read the article?
I did.
Okay, only Matt gets to play the game.
That's right.
All right, so our conjured currency section is a time where we go to the wonderful resource of MTG Stocks, and we read their weekly winners article. Now, the weekly winners article talks about 4 to 5 cards that are moving up in price and 4 to 5 cards that are moving down in price. Now, this article gets posted out on Friday. We record on a Monday, so there's going to be some price discrepancies, which we will talk about. Don't worry. Now, you heard us talking about the game. We love to play a game where if one of us doesn't read the article, we read the card, say how much it went up, and give any other relevant information about the card, and then we ask what format is causing this card to go up.
And then typically Matt mulls around, tries to be smarter than he actually is.
Yeah, it's true.
And everybody makes fun of him for it, but I will still try, damn it.
God, fuck, I'm so glad that you said that about yourself.
I thought you said that about him for a second.
No, that was all him.
Oh, well then.
So I was on eBay looking at stuff.
Who's trying to find the academic there? Be like, I need this.
I need this. No,
I'm looking to see what it was for, like, people that are selling it. So
are people selling it? What's the retail of the academic on eBay right now? Because while you're looking that up,
we're going to go over the first card.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get back to me. The first card up on the list is called Breach the Multiverse. It's 5 and 2 black. This comes out of March of the Machines. It's a sorcery card. Each player mills 10 cards for each player. Choose a creature or planeswalker in that player's graveyard. Put those cards onto the battlefield under your control. Then each creature you control becomes a Phyrexian in addition to its other types. Now, this is legal in all formats except for Popper. I'm going to go over the prices. I'm switching up things how I do it. So, other printings. We got a borderless version. We've got a pre-release version. And then we've got the promo pack version, which I will go over those prices in a moment. Now, on Friday, this card was sitting at $4.10. It went up 314%. Now, as of today, the average price, which is what people are trying to sell it for, is $4.11. The market price, which is what people are trying to buy it for, is $3.42. Foils for this card are $4.99. And the European average, €1.06. Now, those other copies I was talking about, the borderless version is sitting at $5.84. And then the promo pack version is at $11.60. Now, Matt, can you name that format?
I think the big one is it's because of Standard, actually, because of the Pro Tour. Nathan Stoyer's Rakdos deck had it in there. And I think like another 4 of the top 4 decks had it in there. So Standard, but I would not be surprised if the article said Pioneer.
You're locking in your answer at Standard?
At Standard, yes.
You positive?
Positive.
God damn it, he's 1 for 1 today.
Boo! Yeah, suck it, Garrett. Suck it.
Yeah.
All right, listen here, buddy. Listen here.
The article also mentioned Autumn Burchett's Orzhov version, too.
Yes.
Which is really cool, so check that out if you haven't.
She had the... was that bringing out Alice Norn as well with it?
Yeah, stuff. Yeah, like I said, check that deck out. It's really cool. So next one.
Fifth place, right? Or is she? Was she in the semis?
I'll figure that out for you.
Okay.
All right. So the next card is Min Wiley Illusionist. There we go. Now this card for 1 and 2 blue, you get a legendary gnome wizard. Whenever you draw your second card each turn, create a 1/1 blue illusion creature with this. Creature gets +1/+0 for each other illusion you control. Whenever an illusion you control dies, put a permanent card with the mana value less than or equal to that creature's power from your hand onto the battlefield. Now, this card is legal only in Legacy, Vintage, and Commander. Now, there's one other printing of this, and that is the borderless version. Now, as of Friday, this went up 162%, sitting at $5.24. Now, as of today, average price $4.13, market price $2.23, European average 94 cents. And the borderless version has a $6.84 price tag attached to it. Now, Matt, can you name that format?
Can you read the first ability again?
Whenever you draw your second card for each of the turn, or sorry, whenever you draw your second card each turn, not just yours, each turn, create a 1/1 blue illusion creature token with the ability. This creature gets +1/+0 for each other illusion you control.
And then the second ability is...
Whenever illusion creature you control dies, put a permanent card with mana value less than or equal to that creature's power from your hand onto the battlefield.
Well, I mean, I think the safe bet is Commander, but I don't know. Is there like Orval the old form kind of a thing? But maybe there's something in Legacy. I'm locking in on Commander.
Well, currently... it is sitting at the 151st most popular commander card, according to EDH Rec.
I don't think it's like the commander that you're building a deck around. I think it's going in 99, and I'm trying to rack my brain of what came out in Aftermath that would probably want this in the deck there. Would it be the fucking Drek? No. Okay.
You are correct. It's Commander, and you are double correct, so I'm giving you a bonus point right now.
Wow, this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen
often. Because you specifically locked in that she is not the Commander, and it's a card that's working its way into the 99 for three potential decks.
Ooh.
Three.
Can I get a couple guesses? Are they all first?
You got three guesses.
Three guesses.
And they're not all from Mom.
Okay. Orval the Oral Form.
Okay.
I'm gonna say then the Ancient Dragon.
Okay.
The blue Ancient Dragon. what's the clone one? The Saltai clone one. It's a bad guess, but it's a guess.
Saltai clone one.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
It starts with the V. Volrath. Volrath?
That's Esper.
Holy shit, you're three for three on being wrong.
Damn it.
Yeah, Volrath is Esper, not Saltai.
No, the Saltai one, that becomes a copy of the thing, but it still keeps its power toughness 7/4. It came out on one of the commander decks.
Anyway, you pay a black. Let's get to this. So it's Zemo and Dina out of Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Rona out of Mom. And then Melaleuc, the Clouded Mirror, out of...
Meluco.
Champions of Kamigawa.
Because that makes illusion birds.
Yep. So basically, you make illusions and you get shit back. So, all right. But let's work our way into the third card on this list, which is Brazen Cannonade. So on Friday, it was sitting at $8.98, going up 80%. As of today, market price is still the same, $8.98, but the average is $9.98, European average €2.86. And there are no other printings of this card because it comes out of Jumpstart 2022. And whenever an attacking creature you control dies, this is a 3 in a red enchantment card that reads, whenever an attacking creature you control dies, Brazen Cannonade deals 2 damage to each opponent. Raid! At the beginning of your post-combat main phase, if you attacked with a creature this turn, exile the top card of your library. Until end of combat, on your next turn, you may play that card. This card is legal only in Legacy, Vintage, and Commander. Now, can you name that format?
This one, I think, is Commander. I know a lot of hype is coming around with the new Obnixilis and Exile stuff, and Prosper Tomebound is getting tossed around in the builds like interchangeably between casting things from exile, getting treasures, or casting things from exile and +1 counters. So Commander with one of those two, the cause.
You know, I should really just start negating points when you name cards and they are completely wrong.
Damn it.
Yeah.
But the format's correct.
Okay.
So the Ardo's Cobbler of War out of Jumpstart 2022 the Garen Bloodfist of Keld, out of Dominaria United, and then Pia Narlal, Consul of the Revival.
PNLR.
Thank you. Out of Aftermath are the three cards that are mentioned.
Damn.
Yep. So there is that.
Get wrecked.
Get wrecked, scrub.
That's the one.
Yeah, you won. Three out of three.
And I got a
three
bonus out of three.
And you got a bonus point.
So four out of three.
Woo!
All right, so what are those cheap pickups? Because we've got to get going on this.
Okay, so just quickly going through the cheap pickups, we've got Cascade Bluffs sitting at $4.72 and moving up. This is a premium penny stock feature from MTG Stocks. So identified as bottoming out and starting to consistently go up.
What version?
It is the
Aether Revolt.
No, it's the Commander deck out of New Capenna.
New Capenna one.
The Bluffs. It's the Filter Land.
Yep, the Filter Land. The next is Grave Titan, and this is out of... That's the first Commander, isn't it? No.
That's 2017?
One of the early Commander decks. Sitting at $7.32, slowly moving down. And Dark Depths, the Dominaria Remastered printing, is sitting at $7.09, and it is stable.
Pick them up if you want to do lands.
There we go.
Yep. So if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, hey, how can I identify these cards that are moving up and down in price before these guys from This Week in MTG list off their Conjured Currency section? Well, there is a wonderful resource called TCG Sniper is the wonderful resource I want to talk about, because you are able to go on and identify cards and products that are moving up and down in price. So you can do single cards, you can do sealed product, you can do Funko Pops, you can do bundles, anything and everything if it is TCG related. And you can, if you get the basic membership, you've got 15 areas on a list you can put. But if you do that plus membership for free, if the guys, you say the guys at This Week in MTG sent you for 3 months, you get that for 3 months. If you say we sent you, there you go.
There you go.
Try it out.
You get unlimited picks. So there you go.
On anything.
TCG Sniper bit.
Woo.
Now to the ending bit.
To the ending bit. Thank you to all you legendary magic folk for making it to the end of episode 187 of This Week in MTG. Thank you to our Patreons who think that this content that you just listened to is worth supporting. Also want to give a big thank you to J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming for sponsoring us. And if you're looking for anything magic related, go check them out. Go get your Lord of the Ring pre-orders in now. Now, do either of you guys have something you want to add to this?
I got nothing. We already talked for a long time tonight.
It's hour 18.
So not even that long.
Huh.
Yeah, it's probably
Fuck you, Danny.
Yeah, Danny, take that.
It's probably after...
That's all I have to add. Fuck you, Danny. We can get it done in under an hour and a half.
She was in top 8. Autumn, May top 8.
May top 8. Okay.
So.
I mean, I knew that, but I didn't know, which position. Either way, congrats, Autumn.
What do you want me to tell you?
I want the info.
And I'm telling you the info.
With that, magic folk, we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Congratulations! You made it to the end of this week's episode of This Week in MTG. Your listenership means so much to us. Make sure to follow the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or on the podcatcher of your choice. You can watch the live stream recording of the podcast every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time over on YouTube and twitch.com/thisweekinmtg. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can send us a message to our Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email at thisweekinmtg@gmail.com. For all these links and more, check out our link tree at linktr.ee/thisweekinmtg. Thanks so much!
You're the one that has to edit this shit, not me.
I know. The good news is that's staying in.
Exactly. There we go.